Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome, everyone, to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman for the remainder of this week. The boss will be back in the captain's chair on Monday, Lord willing. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Ed.
March 23rd. What are your thoughts about March 23rd?
My thoughts on this March 23rd
I
got a vacation day tomorrow.
You got a vacation day tomorrow.
That's my thoughts.
That's right. Tomorrow, March 24th, yes, is a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Woodward joins us also. Good morning, Chris.
Yes, good morning. And let me, you know, this should be the case any day, but get right with Jesus today, because anytime Fred takes a day off, bad things happen. So
what do you mean?
I have worked here. This will be my 13th year here, and I'm not kidding you. Every time Fred takes a day off, something happens.
You think it's sabotage or what?
Yeah, he's part of a Canadian sleeper cell. Codename A.
A.
Yeah.
What, A? Oh, no, I thought that was Australian.
Be advised. Something will happen tomorrow.
Canadian sleeper cell. Well, you know, Canadians are nice.
Yes, they are.
If there is a sleeper cell, they're going to spring into action and help you shovel your driveway.
Yes. Right. They are some of the nicest people. And let me say, I had the privilege of going to Canada back in the 90s, and it is one of the cleanest places. I've been to several countries. Canada is one of the cleanest places on planet Earth.
Well, that's if you've got all you have a country that big and you only got 3 million people living in it, of course it's going to be clean.
Yeah.
That few people cannot dirty. No, Americans are slobs. Let's just get right down
spoiled,
to it.
Spoiled, rotten, ungrateful people,
yes,
is
absolutely.
What we are.
Absolutely. My wife and I will be driving. We'll see people throw stuff out of their car as they're driving. We see trash on the side of the road, and we're always saying that. Americans are slobs. I do what my father taught me to do, and that is my trash stays in the back seat where it belongs.
For weeks.
You invite people on a ride, and you're like, let me get that out of your way.
Oh, hang on a second. My wife had the car yesterday. All this stuff came because of her. All right, well, we want to probably get it to something more serious, and I don't want to get in trouble if my wife is listening. So, all right, Chris, get us started. We actually have some really good stuff. I'm going to tell you, if there are any communist Chinese listening, you're going to get hammered today, all right? We're going to be spending some time on the one of your co-reporters, Chris, Chad Groening always says, The Chi-Coms. All right, let's get started. We do want to talk about President Trump right off the bat, though.
Yes, we've been leading with this all week, and understandably so. It's a huge story that involves the former president. We're still on Trump watch, to kind of paraphrase things down. You still have the grand jury situation going on there in the Manhattan area. But a lot of people are kind of criticizing now the Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg. One example of somebody criticizing him is Congressman Jim Jordan, and there's a story from Fox. I'll share the link here in a second. But Congressman Jordan, one of the high-ranking Republicans in Congress at the moment, says he now is investigating Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's unprecedented abuse and politically motivated Trump probe. Mike Huckabee was on Fox and Friends today as well, saying, you know, the media can't be trusted on this situation, neither can the government. This is a political persecution of Trump, as we have talked about all week.
Well, and I'm looking at an updated headline here on Fox, Fred. Manhattan grand jury not expected to consider former President Trump hush money case today. Source says that's what happened yesterday.
Yes.
And I got to think that there's a whole lot of discussion going on about whether or not the district attorney of Manhattan needs to continue on and proceed with this case.
Yeah. It's really interesting. If you follow this story over the last 7 days, all last weekend, there were speculative stories that President Trump would be charged on Tuesday of this week. That's all we heard.
Right.
All weekend. And then along comes, we find out that there is going to be testimony from a witness before the grand jury on Monday this week, a gentleman by the name of Robert Costello, who once was an legal advisor to former Trump attorney.
Michael Cohen,
who has turned state's evidence against Donald Trump. Michael Cohen has been the star witness for Mr. Bragg.
Right.
During this. So Costello comes in, and we don't know for sure what he said, but reports say he told the grand jury, Robert Costello, who's no longer a friend of the former attorney. Costello testifies before the grand jury that this now guy who's
Michael. Cohen and Costello. It sounds like a comedy team.
Yes. Mr. Cohen is a serial liar. Okay. And that's a quote.
Right.
That he's a serial liar. Apparently also during Costello's testimony, he really went strong on, there's a whole pile of evidence out there, paper evidence, to prove that Mr. Cohen is a liar. How come this hasn't come before you, grand jury members?
Right.
Why wasn't this made available for you to consider? Basically throwing stones at Mr. Bragg.
Right.
The prosecutor. All right. So that's Monday. So Tuesday goes by. We don't get any charges. No indictment of the president. Wednesday, yesterday, comes along, and they cancel the grand jury hearing.
No grand jury deliberations at all.
No. Today, I think we're told, at least we're an hour ago, they said the grand jury is supposed to reconvene noon today. All right? So that's where we are with that front. But also, which leads to speculation, wait a minute now, you know, 5 days ago, it was like a done deal. He was going to be arrested. Mm-hmm. In fact, we saw police in Manhattan putting up barricades.
Right.
Because Mr. Trump was saying go out there and protest. They're expecting a whole pile of people around the
counter-protesters.
All that sort of thing. None of that has materialized. So something has happened. Now, we have a clip of Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer was asked about this. Asked about Mr. Bragg yesterday. It's a very short clip. It's cut number 4. But when you listen to this, it is less than a ringing endorsement of fellow Democrat Mr. Bragg.
Right.
All right, cut number 4.
Do you have confidence in Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA?
Look, the bottom line is, as I said, it's premature to comment on what's happening, and we'll have to wait and see what he does.
You know what I read into that? I read that the Democrats have been meeting, and they're at least weighing the possible political fallout if they were to indict Mr. Trump, and he comes down there, and he gets fingerprinted, he gets his picture up there, all of that, and they're saying, you know what? Donald Trump could turn that around into great election campaign material.
Especially since we've heard that the president, the former president, was going to be bringing his own camera crew.
Yes.
To record all this.
Yes. And all of us, the Costello testimony turned things around. Something happened on Monday during that testimony that has changed the whole story. So that's why there's growing speculation that Mr. Bragg is not going to get the indictment.
You know what I think may have happened here is that Alvin Bragg, again, the Manhattan district attorney, who has promised all along that he was going to get Trump.
Yes.
All right. So it may very well be that he was, I don't know what the procedures are for a grand jury, whether you have to present all of your evidence, prosecution's evidence, defense evidence to a grand jury. I think those rules and regulations differ from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. But what if Alvin Bragg withheld some of this information because all he really wanted is the mugshot and the fingerprinting of the former president? Doesn't matter whether he gets a conviction. Mm-hmm. He wants to smear Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But Costello's testimony reveals that political persecution and could backfire on Bragg himself.
Yes.
If that became known that he was withholding evidence in order to get the grand jury indictment because that's all he was in business for.
Yeah. I think politics has been driving this thing from the beginning.
Right.
Bragg and the Democrats hate Donald Trump, and they've been trying to get him somewhere on something for years. And I think the Costello testimony, as you say, did something to change the equation on all of this. And again, I go back to what Schumer had to say. That wasn't, you know, if he believed in Mr. Bragg and what Mr. Bragg was doing, Mr. Bragg's doing a tremendous job down there.
We've got the goods on the former president. You didn't hear any of that kind of stuff.
No, he very hesitant. We're just going to wait for this to play out and see what happens. And so I'm very anxious. Something may come about in the next 24 hours. We'll wait and see.
Now, is that all we're going to do on the Trump story?
Yes, because
I have something I want to say. Okay, folks. I'm going to do a public service announcement right now, okay? Because I can't take 18 months of Republican civil war. I just can't take it. All right. So you know, maybe not today, but on our Facebook page, we're getting phone calls. If we don't appear to be 100% for Donald Trump or 100%. For Ron DeSantis, we're getting hammered by the other side. Just stop it. All right? Stop it. Stop hating. Stop devouring one another. This is getting to be on a biblical scale. Our job on this program, like on American Family Radio, is to talk about the news. We're not in the business of campaigning for your favorite candidate. So, we'll ban people from our Facebook page if you're not nice. So when President Trump does something good, we try to mention it. When he does something bad, we mention it. Same thing for DeSantis, Ramaswamy, Vivek Ramaswamy, which I just like saying. All right, Nikki Haley, we're going to cover this campaign and the run-up to the nomination for both political parties the best we can. If you don't like the way we're talking about your candidate, too bad. All right? We're all grown-ups. Let's all grow up. All right. Now,
amen.
I'm done.
Amen.
I'm done with it, so we'll move on.
If you need Fred and I to be like Aaron and Hur and hold up your hands like Moses.
No, listen.
I'm your guy.
After I'm done on this show, I'm going out to lunch with my wife. Nothing can bring me down. Okay? We still have money left over on a gift card. I'm taking her out somewhere nice. All right. I'm just tired of it, and I don't want to do this for 18
sure.
months.
Yeah.
So go complain to someone else that
and
wants
to hear
it. And
it's not even an election year yet.
I know it.
There's a reason I have gray hair, people.
All right. All right. Now let's move
on. I'm only 22.
Because we're going to beat up on the communist Chinese right now.
Right. This very well could have been the lead story today, but we wanted to make sure to set aside time to bring up the Trump situation. To bring our listeners and viewers up to speed on how things are going there in the Manhattan area. But also in Washington right now, and Fox News just spent a ton of time covering this. Newsmax has been on it, as well as other channels. The CEO of TikTok is appearing before members of Congress today to make his case for why the U.S. government should not ban TikTok. In other words, not allow people in America to have TikTok on their phone, computers, what have you. TikTok, for those that are not aware, it is owned by a Chinese company, but given the fact that the Chi-Coms own and control everything in their country, basically a Chinese-owned company is controlled by the communist government in China. And so a lot of people here in the U.S. have been increasingly concerned that the Chinese communists that control everything over there are using data that they're collecting from us and handed to them by the owners of TikTok. The Chinese government is going to use that to their advantage, maybe put out some propaganda out there to get people divided in these United States of America, and maybe figure out what people are doing in their daily lives and what they're buying, what they're watching, what they're interested in, what they're talking about with their fellow citizens privately. And so the members of Congress, specifically the Republicans, brought in the head of TikTok to make his case as to why they should not ban it. But it seems to be that many of them do have their concerns already, and probably they're going to make a push for banning TikTok. One representative that is not in favor of banning TikTok is Congressman Jamal Bowman. He is a Democrat from New York, and he says, essentially, if you oppose TikTok, you are a racist. Clip two.
Why the hysteria and the panic and the targeting of TikTok? As we know, Republicans in particular have been sounding the alarm, creating a red scare around China. It poses about the same threat that companies like Facebook and Instagram. Let's not be racist towards China and express our xenophobia.
Well, Fred, that's an idiotic thing to say.
Yeah.
This is not about not liking Chinese or not liking Asians in general.
Yes.
We don't have a problem with South Korea. We don't have, you know, a problem with Japan. You know why? Because they don't have as a declared purpose conquering the world.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. So what an idiotic thing to say. The Chinese present an existential threat to the United States and to our interests. Now, I'm not saying we should start a war with them or any of those kind of things, but I'm glad that Congress is looking at TikTok, because the kinds of propaganda we see internally in this country on college and university campuses, now all the way down into high school, grade school, elementary school, where you have ideologues trying to propagandize the people of this country. Why wouldn't I be surprised that an external force would be trying to do the same thing?
Yes.
There's a lot of political discourse and a lot of ideological discourse that goes on TikTok. And if the communist Chinese are behind this company, I'm glad we have at least some people who are concerned about that.
Yeah, and the Democrat congressman, Mr. Jamal Bowman, mm-hmm. Is less than honest. First of all, to say if you're against TikTok, you're racist. That's right out of the Democratic Party playbook. If they don't think they can win an argument on logic, they throw that out.
Right.
If you don't agree with me, you're a racist.
Right.
So now if you have problems with TikTok, you're a racist. So just ignore this, folks. Number two, he says it's mostly Republicans. Maybe he needs an education. Maybe he's just not telling the whole truth. But the reality is there are governments all over the world who are now saying we're not going to allow our government employees to have TikTok on their phones.
Right.
We're talking left-leaning governments in Europe who have told their employees we're not doing it. I believe in Canada, the left-wing Prime Minister of Canada, Trudeau, has told government employees, we're not doing TikTok, all right? In fact, there's an investigation going on in Canada right now, which Prime Minister Trudeau approves of, saying that trying to try to influence the last election in Canada, all right? So for Mr. Bowman, I'm sorry, you're just not telling the whole truth,
right.
And I'm being kind. You're just not telling the whole truth. You are misleading the American public in what you just said.
Well, and it's one thing. We talked about this in our story meeting this morning. It's one thing for Amazon to track you,
mm-hmm.
all right? I've told this a number of times. Several years ago, as a Los Angeles Rams fan, I checked out the price of some sweatshirts, Rams sweatshirts. And everywhere I went, I saw ads popping up. Encourage me to buy Rams gear.
Yes.
And my first thought was, I was being incredibly naive. I realized that. My first thought was, wow, there are a lot of Rams fans. Every website I go to.
Yes.
People are, they're, you know, no, they were tracking me.
Yes.
All right. It's one thing for companies to track me and offer up ads to get me to buy stuff. There's nothing nefarious about that. I don't like being tracked, but that's kind of the price you pay for using free browsers and things like that. But I don't trust the communists.
No.
Communist China. No. It's not that I don't trust Chinese people. If we get time in this segment, but we definitely will after the break, we're going to listen to a Chinese national, experiencer of communism in China. I'll listen to this guy all day long. Mm-hmm. It's got nothing to do with the nationality or with quote unquote the race of the Chinese. It is what ideology is driving government action.
Yes.
And I do not trust them. They're dangerous. Mm-hmm. And if they are controlling TikTok, which to Chris's point, the communist Chinese control everything in China, mm-hmm. then it's a threat.
That's right.
By definition.
Yes.
All right, Chris. I don't know what it is. I'm just – I can't get off the soapbox.
Well, I tell you, I looked up Miami Dolphins T-shirts one time, and I got an ad asking me, why in the world are you a Dolphins fan? Maybe they're looking at my data and treating
it. That is a good question.
It's a question I've asked myself.
That lots of people are asking.
20-some-odd right years now. But nonetheless, do you want to go ahead and play – the audio you just mentioned, or you want to wait until after?
Well, what else do we have on this TikTok thing? Now, this is the TikTok CEO. His name is Xu Chu.
Right.
I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Well, and I will say I have posted the link to the hearing as it's going on right now on C-SPAN. Even if you listen to the show a couple hours from now, you can go back and watch it in its entirety from the beginning. So don't take our word for it. Watch the hearing itself.
Is it true that a lot of Democrats now seem to be peeling away from the area of concern and are saying we don't want to ban TikTok? Or is that just a few Democrats here and there?
I'd say a few here and there. There are some people that, you know, leave it to us having the freedoms to, you know, use whatever social media platform we want on our phones because that's our personal phone. We should be able to watch and listen to whatever we want to do. But Republicans say, look, we're in favor of that too, but it's a different animal when it's a device owned by a company that is controlled by Chinese companies.
Okay, now I was going to ask Fred this, but he's like me. He's not going to know, okay, the answer to this. You're a millennial.
Yes.
All right. How do you ban? TikTok is an app, mm-hmm. right? So is that just something where you go to Apple and tell them we don't? I mean, how do you know how that works? As you've been reading about this,
yes.
How would you ban an app? You can't tell people what to have on their phone, mm-hmm. but you can control their access to it.
Yes.
How would that work?
As best as I understand it, it would work like this. You're not going to be able to go somewhere to an app store and download it if you wanted to get on it. And then if you actually have it, as I understand it, it would cease to work at that point. It would be like visiting a website that has gone broke or bust and doesn't exist anymore.
Okay.
You get the little error message.
All right. But could you get the app like from, I mean, I don't know who would do this, but could you get the app from China?
Probably.
Okay. But then you're going to be on the Homeland Security.
Yeah. Then you get a knock on your door from somebody in a suit.
Yeah. All right. Okay, folks, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking about an individual who knows what it's like to live under communist Chinese rule, who says, this gentleman says, he sees the same thing happening in this country. You don't want to miss this. Again, a short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Today's Issues.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness. And may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stern. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. The leader of the secret police in Russia once said, "Show me the man and I'll show you the crime." It was the law of the land during Joseph Stalin's reign of terror, and it appears to be the working premise behind the Biden administration's war on their political enemies, fabricating crimes to punish pro-lifers, concerned parents, gun owners, and even a former president. Now, the media seems caught up in the salacious details of the scandal between Stormy Daniels and President Trump, but Ms. Daniels wrote in her book and said many times in public she never had an affair with Trump. The issue is, quite frankly, a financial misdemeanor. But it's really about stopping Trump from being elected president. And George Soros-funded district attorneys in New York and Georgia are on the warpath. That being said, should Trump be indicted, he should be careful not to jaywalk. That could land him a lifetime in jail. I'm Todd Starnes.
Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. 1 Peter 3:14-16.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward. We're talking about the communist Chinese and the fact that they are, I don't even know who would argue about this except for far-left radicals like we talked about at the end of the previous segment. But Chris, we now want to turn to someone that was born and raised in China, is now an American citizen, and who has some very cogent and timely warnings for America, his fellow U.S. citizens, about what is happening compared to what he experienced growing up.
Yeah, the gentleman that we're discussing right now is named Bob Fu, and he's one of several people who were born in Asia or, you know, another part of the world where they have a tyrannical government controlling things and treating Christians and other people of faith really badly. Bob Fu is out there telling the press that things he experienced as a younger person living in China and in the horribleness of their government, those are the things that he's starting to see here in the U.S. And how our government is treating people and how our media is treating people of faith, Christians, what have you. And so we're going to play a little bit of that audio now from Bob Fu, clip 3.
Because I was born, raised, educated under communist China, I just observed striking similarities during this COVID dictatorship time between China, of course, even the United States of America. I find we are really, in America, descending into a very dark kind of reality that somehow those mayors and governors all of a sudden became little emperors. And also the media has become an ideological tool to do propaganda with one side of the extreme leftist agenda.
Well, Fred, I like listening to people who have experienced. Sometimes they come from Cuba. As Chris said, sometimes they'll come from, maybe someone will escape from North Korea, all right, or Iran. In this case, Bob Fu is from communist China, mm-hmm. and he's now a pastor. I think he's a pastor.
Correct.
And president of China Aid. He's a pastor in Midland, Texas. I like listening to these folks because they have a perspective that sometimes, obviously, we don't have because we didn't grow up the way they grew up, but we can be blinded to the growing danger around us. These folks spot it right away because it reminds them of what they left their home country to escape.
Yeah. Well, Bob Fu's testimony is powerful in that he lived what he's talking about in China growing up. He saw what happened to churches there. He saw how the government comes along. If they don't like what you're doing, what you're saying, who you're hanging out with, you're going to have a visit from the government. And what he was saying in that clip was, during the pandemic, it was chilling what he saw. He was talking about mayors, he's talking about governors, he's talking about the federal government, what they did to people. We've talked before about Governor Newsom in California during the pandemic. Churches, not allowed to meet. Churches that were allowed to meet, you can't sing. At the same time, casinos were allowed to stay open.
Yeah.
All right. And so people scratch their head and say, wait a minute, does the virus distinguish between casinos and churches? That's what he said. But the other thing, and I guess because I'm involved with the media, news media, I am shocked. I am shocked at what I am seeing in American journalism today. I've been aware of bias, liberal bias. I've been in this business now for over 40 years, and I've seen liberal bias to a certain extent. But there was usually an effort in newsrooms to say, wait a minute, we at least have to have the other side and treat both sides fairly. We're going to quote what both sides are saying. I'm not seeing that anymore. In fact, there's 2 degrees of this. They're all in on one side of a story, and it's the leftist, godless side of a story.
Right.
They treat that like worship. They worship that side of a story. And if it's a conservative issue, they either don't cover it at all, or they paint conservatives as being a danger to society. And I want to carry that forward, too, to the language we have coming out of the Biden White House these days. It is a favorite now to say if they don't like the politics of an individual, that individual is a threat to democracy.
Right.
How many times have you heard that?
Part of their talking points.
Over the last 2.5 years, if you don't agree with Dr. Fauci, you're a threat to democracy. Also, it's not just Bob Fu. It's Miss Vanderfleet. She Vanfleet. All right. She grew up in China as well. She's from Loudoun County in Virginia. She lived through what happened to parents who started to show up at school board meetings and question the teaching of critical race theory, other things that were being taught to the kids there. She has said the same thing as Bob Fu.
Right.
She has said, what I'm seeing at school board meetings from these school board members and then the Attorney General of the United States referring to parents who show up to express concern about transgenders, boys going into girls' washrooms, you had the Attorney General of the United States calling them terrorists. So these people who lived in communist China, all they're saying is, America, wake up, because I'm starting to see the same playbook in the United States of America that I lived with in China, and you better be careful.
Well, I do have another example of this. Some of the examples we've mentioned already are chilling, but there's a New Jersey woman named Angela Redding. Now, this, what I'm about to tell you that happened to her, happened in December of 2022. But it is back in the news because this woman and her husband are suing. They're suing a bunch of people, federal government, state, local. Here's what happened to Angela Redding. She goes to her elementary school with her 7-year-old daughter. It's math night. She's walking down the hall with her daughter. She sees an entire wall plastered with hand-drawn papers and posters from the kids, all touting their embrace of polysexuality, androgyny, lesbianism, all these kinds of things that we've talked about, genderqueer, all that stuff, posted all over. Now, as they're walking down that hallway, her daughter asks Angela, what's polysexuality? Okay, so now this is a woman, Angela Redding, who was very involved. Her and her husband were both members of the school board. They're involved. She posts on Facebook that night, I don't think this is age appropriate. I don't think this should be legal to talk to kids about sexuality and gender at this young age. this stuff needs to be pulled down. All right. She's simply staying involved on her own Facebook page, not as a member of the school board on the school board's Facebook page. This is her own Facebook page. Well, because there's a nearby military base and some of the families have kids who go to the same school with Angela Redding, a lieutenant colonel there, and that's been reported that he's a major and a lieutenant colonel. I know there's a difference on that. I'm not sure what his rank is, but most of the stories say lieutenant colonel. Christopher Schilling, he doesn't like what Angela Redding posts. He calls the local police. The police chief contacts Angela Redding and says, pull it down. I don't want Homeland Security on my case. And what this Christopher Schilling, this officer, did was post that Angela Redding, just like you said, Fred, that this is, she's a terrorist. She is a danger to our society. He turns her name over to federal, state, and local officials. She undergoes several investigations into where she's coming from. Her and her husband are forced to resign from the school board. They were forced to pull their kids out of public school. She said she lived in terror of a knock on the door. This is in the United States of America, just because she posted that one thing on Facebook.
Yeah.
And now, good for her, this woman and her husband, they're champions. They are going after the federal government and have filed lawsuits against the Department of Homeland Security, this Christopher Schilling. She said on Tucker Carlson, she said the job of the U.S. military is to protect us from overseas threats, not Facebook posts.
Yes.
And but to the point of Bob Fu and Shi Van Fleet, that is crazy stuff happening to American citizens.
Yes.
The full power of government
trying
to crush dissent.
Yes.
This is a First Amendment lawsuit that she's filed.
Yes.
She's saying the federal government, state government, local government, trying to suppress her speech under the threat of punishment.
Yes.
I hope this guy, Christopher Schilling, this lieutenant colonel, I don't know why the guy is still, I saw Angela Redding on a recent interview. I don't know why this guy's still got his position.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I will say, for those watching us and sharing their thoughts and opinions on things, on our Facebook page, I have shared a New York Post article about her situation that Ed just mentioned, as well as her recent appearance on Tucker Carlson's show. So check out the Facebook comments for those links.
All right. Anything else with Bob Fu, or are we done with him?
Well, I will mention this because it involves Chinese communists and maybe the thinking that the Biden administration has when it comes to China's meddling in all kinds of foreign relations here. Xi Jinping has been meeting, the Chinese president, Xi Jinping has been meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin to discuss, among other things, the war in Ukraine. The fact that China's president showed up in Moscow to talk about this leads people to believe that basically Russia has no problem with or China has no problem with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So when asked about all this situation, their relationship, Xi Jinping said change is coming, which is kind of a mysterious phrase, right? You've got a Chinese communist in charge of nuclear weapons and a massive, you know, military force saying change is coming. And he's talking to Russia's president about this. So Peter Doocy, God bless him. Asks White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, hey, what does the White House think about Xi Jinping saying change is coming? You'll hear her response here, as well as a rebuttal from Representative Carlos Jimenez, a Cuban-born congressman from Florida, chiming in and sharing his thoughts. Clip 8.
Okay. Xi told Putin at their meeting, change is coming. That hasn't happened in 100 years, and we are driving this change together. What do you think that means?
You would have to ask them.
Change is coming means that China will become the dominant economic and military power in the world. And so that change is not going to be good for the United States. That's a pretty easy answer. We have to decouple from China. And we, as Americans, also have to look at where these products are made. We are feeding this dragon.
Listen, who was that?
Carlos Jimenez.
He sits on the House Armed Services Committee.
And knows a thing or two about tyrannical governments.
Yes. Listen, I am all into what he just said. Okay? You have got to recognize who your enemies are. Now, it is clear that Russia is sore at the United States because we're the main driving force of NATO, and the Russians obviously have had problems with NATO. That is at least it, what they have talked about in terms of why they invaded Ukraine. I just want to say that it's awful what they've done to that country, the Russians. So Putin has every motivation to align himself with other enemies of the United States to create a counterweight to the United States. And right now, China is the other big boy on the block. Mm-hmm. It is clear, although they've got some serious systemic issues with regards to falling birth rates coming in the next 30 years. They've got some serious economic problems. All that being said, they are a powerful adversary for the United States, and it makes no sense for us to be this dependent upon the Chinese economy. Because if we do go to war, all right, we could be looking at serious repercussions to our economy. I like what Congressman Jimenez said. We're feeding that dragon.
We're feeding that dragon. If people have been tracking what's been going on in China over the last couple of months, basically, and I put in quotation marks, in the recent election in China, Xi basically has appointed himself leader for life.
Right. Dictator for life.
Dictator for life. Okay. He made that very clear. And then he had some very chilling things to say, basically, he wants China to be the major influencer in the world. All right. It wasn't about we have to improve our economy.
Right.
It wasn't about how we have to improve lives for our citizens. It wasn't about we have to deal with the next pandemic. No, he wants to be the influencer of the world. You got to understand that. So he goes and visits with Putin this week in Moscow. And basically what we understand, what they talked about is, I'll continue, she says to Putin, I'll continue to buy your oil as long as you start to do my bidding.
Right.
Because they need customers for oil. People don't want to buy Moscow oil. The other thing, and these stories kind of just slip by because there's so much else going on. She is visiting governments all over the world.
Right.
Let's be clear. After he left Moscow, he's going to Spain, and he's going to talk to them. What the Chinese have been doing for years now, they go in and they sign contracts. Hey, faltering economies in Spain, or they go to Cuba, they go to Venezuela. Hey, listen, we'll buy your natural resources.
Right.
We'll pour money into your economy, but we're going to make you dependent on us. This is how China operates. The same thing has happened over many years here in the United States. We have come to depend on China producing goods that we buy at cheap prices at big box stores in this country. That's the bottom line. The trade deficit between the United States and China is just growing exponentially.
Right.
And what the trade deficit is, we buy a whole lot more of their stuff than they buy of our stuff.
Right.
That's the bottom line. And so the other thing, and I'm not the first to say this, I believe Xi sees a very weak leader in Joe Biden. Very weak. Especially if Joe Biden is on the hook for money that his son Hunter Biden got from the Chinese government during the time that Biden was vice president.
And other family members. Right.
So stop and think about that. Basically, there's possibly some extortion going on here.
Well, listen, folks, President Trump ran in part on securing our southern border, mm-hmm. but also narrowing that trade deficit with China.
Yes.
He kept talking about how China, he's going to make sure he gets a good deal from China and try to improve that trade imbalance and bring it into a balance. I would not be surprised if after the discovery of the escape of the COVID virus from the lab in Wuhan, China. Now, some think it was done deliberately. I don't know. However it got out, I think the communist Chinese, I would not be surprised. Let me say this. I think, as I've said on this show many times, I said it when we were in 2020 mm-hmm. and this virus was spreading, COVID was spreading. I said, I wouldn't be surprised if the communist Chinese said, let's let it ride.
Yeah.
Like you apparently do at Vegas mm-hmm. when you have money on the table. Let's let it ride. Let's see how this plays out.
I wouldn't know, Ed.
Yes. I wouldn't either. So I think they are that shrewd.
Mm-hmm.
And fascist governments, communist, true communist governments are that way. They are shrewd. They don't believe in God.
No.
All right? They have no moral compulsion to treat people fairly. And listen, our country has done plenty of bad stuff, okay? But these people are motivated with a desire to take over and to control. And the Biden administration is incredibly weak.
Yes.
And listen, we should have taken the billions of dollars of weapons we left behind in Afghanistan that are in the hands of the Taliban. They're selling that stuff. We should have given that to Taiwan
mm-hmm.
so that they could defend themselves. We're years behind in delivering what they need for Taiwan. We're in a tough strait and in a bad place with this communist government. And when they say change is coming, you're exactly right. They want to bump us off. And you know what is so infuriating? We are doing everything in our power to help them.
Yes.
In terms of our cultural decay.
Yes.
While we have this Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Schilling in this New Jersey story worrying about what this mother posted on Facebook, while we have the military trying to teach our members of our fighting force to use the right pronouns, the Chinese are gearing up for World War III.
They are.
That's what they're doing.
I think it was Tony Perkins on his program sometime this week was talking to a military expert. It was scary to listen to, folks, because the Chinese are building up their Navy like there's no tomorrow.
Right.
They're building aircraft carriers. We are falling far, far behind while our military is worried about what pronouns people are using.
Well, you wait until we get into a war with the Chinese. You wait until they use hypersonic missiles and sink a couple of aircraft carriers mm-hmm. with 5,000 or 6,000 personnel on it.
Yeah.
All right. That'll be a wake up call. It'll be too late to answer that one.
Yeah. I do, to your point about the military wanting people to use the right pronouns, Senator Eric Schmidt, one of the newest members of the Senate, he's a Republican from Missouri, and he confronted a Pentagon official this week about their concerns that people use the right pronouns when addressing one another in the military. Clip 14.
China is like militarizing islands. They mean business. And we're having to spend time to talk about DOD's $114 million budget request for diversity, equity, inclusion, training. This stuff is nuts. It is naive to believe that this is not divisive among recruits or people in the military. How does that help us be a better fighting force by not referring to a man as him or her in a memo? Like, how does that help us?
I'll have to take a look at.
Well, we'll follow up.
That response was coming from military Pentagon people. We'll have to take a look at that. The fact that we're spending $114 million, is that what he said?
Yes, $114 million. That, a budget request.
On a diversity program. On forcing soldiers to address somebody by their preferred pronouns.
Let me tell you something, folks. There is a mindset that develops. There's actually some kind of psychological name for it. I can't remember it. There is a mindset that develops to where you think the world will continue to be what you have experienced in your life. In other words, you don't realize how quickly things can change. Think about this way. If there is a third world war and we lose it to the Chinese, we could lose Hawaii.
Yeah.
The Chinese could take Hawaii. They could take the Philippines. They could isolate Australia. I don't think they would take Australia. They could wipe out Japan. All right? The world can change dramatically. We can go from 50 states to 49. What if they try to take Alaska? All right? I'm telling you, the world can change overnight, and you have to be wise and prepare for what your enemy could do, not what you think they will do. Prepare for what they are capable of doing. And China increasingly is becoming capable of knocking us out of the Pacific. I don't know why I'm on the soapbox all day today.
The pronoun thing is one of the reasons why I sometimes doubt whether my generation, millennials and Gen Zers and those to follow, would have been able to win D-Day. Because somebody in the boat would have complained about the weather, the pay. Somebody would probably have been a Nazi sympathizer. And then the other guy would worry whether or not he had offended somebody by calling him the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And because the people in D-Day didn't worry about and do those kinds of stupid things, they were able to win. But, like, I don't know that my generation could pull that off today, because someone somewhere would have been walking on eggshells.
Well,
and we'd all be speaking German and not talking about the things we're talking about today.
I'm just saying things can change so dramatically that they will create a world you never dreamed was coming.
Yes.
And we do not have leaders in this White House. These people are crazy with the things they are obsessed with.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a sign of a decaying culture.
Yep.
When you begin to worry about these things rather than worrying. When you have people, you have teachers teaching children that our founding fathers are corrupt,
yeah,
and our Constitution is evil and capitalism is bad, you have a fifth column within your own nation that will not be able,
yes,
to or willing,
mm-hmm,
to stand up to true dictators.
Yes, and with a complying media that is not questioning this. They're just rolling along with it. They think Joe Biden is doing a good job.
Why was Peter Ducey the only one to ask, yes, Karine Jean-Pierre that question?
Yes.
That question, that statement by Xi Jinping should have run a cold shiver down the spine of every reporter there.
To be honest with you, I think there are people in the room that agree with Ducey, and at least they see his points. But the problem is that in D.C., a lot of these people are married to people in government, or they enjoy being able to go to the same cocktail parties,
yep,
and all this other garbage that they don't need to be involved with if they want to act like they're an objective journalist.
Yeah. Yep.
So they don't ask the tough questions, even though they know people like Peter Ducey has a good point and did what he should have done in that room.
Yeah, stop and think about this for a moment. When you look at what the Biden administration has done over the last 2.5 years, roughly, they have treated conservatives in America like the enemy.
Yes.
We are the enemy. They're seeking us out.
White nationalists, white supremacists are the number one threat to this country. That's what Joe Biden said.
Yes.
That's what these people are saying.
Malarkey.
Yes. They're treating us as the enemy and the threat to America, and they're letting China just grow more powerful by the day.
Right.
Stop and think about that, folks. And by the way, the other phrase used, Christian nationalists.
Yes.
You hear that from this administration.
You even hear that from Christians on the left.
I know.
Well, folks, the world hasn't ended yet.
No.
Listen, folks, I'm telling you, that's why the news media should be doing their job when it comes to this money going to the Biden family. All right? Records showing it. I don't know why the money went. They should be asking the question, though. They should be demanding it. Because if you have a president who's handcuffed,
yeah,
in the White House,
mm-hmm,
because he's being blackmailed by our number one competitor, the Chinese communists, you should want to know that.
Absolutely.
For your own safety,
mm-hmm,
if for no other reason. All right, folks, I'm going to cool off for a while. I'm going to go jump in a cold shower and drink a Diet Coke. We got a 5-minute break for news. We'll come back with Steve Jordahl. Please join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.